Broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts radio.
This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall.
James Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Leaving.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
And we are back to Talking Brawls, MixedMartialArts.com radio live. Very special edition here. Obviously, you haven't been back live in quite some time. But we decided to, you know, being such a momentous week for Irish mixed martial arts, with obviously the five fights being announced for the UFC Dublin card. And we've a stacked lineup here today. Myself, Niall McGrath, as always, from TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. I'm very special guest co-host on the show today. One of our staff writers at TalkingBrawlsMMA.com, Keith Fitzpatrick. Keith, what's happening, my man?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on, Niall.
Great to have you on, man. Great to have you on. Exciting week all the same, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant week, yeah.
Great stuff. So, obviously, today, guys, we've, as I mentioned earlier on Twitter, if you follow us on Twitter, you can hit us up on at TBMMA.com. Obviously, you'll get all the details there on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. So we have, first up, we're going to speak to Brad Pickett. I caught up with Brad Pickett yesterday, so it's a pre-recorded interview. Brad just talks a little bit about what coming over to Dublin is going to mean to him, and obviously the fight against Ian McCall. Also on the show, we have his opponent on, Ian McCall. Ian will be joining us live in about 27 minutes' time, so really looking forward to that one. Keith, let's get things kicked off, my man.
Let's do it.
UFC Dublin, obviously the UFC announced five fights for the card.
It'd
be great. Yeah, we'll be doing well to get that. But Conor McGregor, obviously Cole Miller, it's been long rumoured. Keith, what's your lowdown on this fight? How much are we going to look forward to this? And, you know, do you really think it's going to be a good fight?
I think it's a great fight for Conor McGregor. I think most people would have said I would rather Conor McGregor was in the main event. But I mean, regardless of who's put in that, I think everyone's going to be absolutely like dying to see, no matter who's in the card, to be honest, because we've been starved of it for so long. So yeah, I'm excited for it, but I think it is as perfect a fight as you could possibly get.
Definitely.
For Conor McGregor to, you know.
Do you really think it's, you know, they're sort of easing him back and trying to, you know, make every sort of marketable penny out of Conor because he's, you know, he's become such a big star and, you know, it's not the jump a lot of people would have liked to see, but you know, they're going the slow route. They're making their books. Do you think this is something I mentioned to Fig O'Farrell on the Stante MMA show a couple of weeks ago. He asked me a question about, you know, do I see Conor, you know, possibly headlining here for a world title in a year and a half's time? And something, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I think this could be Conor's last fight for quite some time in Dublin. Is that a fair comment?
I think the whole building him up as well, like at the end of the day, they're giving him what you would think is easing him in, like the fight's kind of easing him in to the title picture, I suppose. But on the other hand, he's headlining a UFC fight night card in his third fight in the UFC, which I don't know anyone else who's really done that.
Yeah,
you could probably find me someone who has, but so it's kind of contradicting that, you know, they're building him up one way and they're giving him a slow burn the other way. So, you know, it's interesting how they're handling him, because I don't, you know, I know they've mentioned Brock Lesnar as someone who's had someone that much hype behind him, but they haven't had this level of, and they just, especially for a European fighter, you know, as much as they try to market Gustafsson, you know what I mean?
He doesn't have that, you know, the personality that really sells Gustafsson.
Bisping does. Yeah. But Bisping's never, you know, let's be honest, Bisping's not going to win a world championship.
Yeah, that's
Conor McGregor is probably, you know, he's got the personality.
Definite potential.
We don't know if he's on that level, but, you know, like they're definitely, I'd say they have their fingers crossed that, you know.
Definitely, it's a stacked SBG lineup as well. Obviously, Gunnar Nelson taking on Ryan LaFleur. We talked a little bit about air off this, that, you know, we probably would have liked someone, with all great respect to Ryan LaFleur, possibly a bigger name for Gunnar. Are they sort of, you know, holding them back as well a little bit?
We also mentioned that. The more I look at this fight, the less it makes sense for me. Like, I know we kind of spoke before that Tariq Saffedin or Mike Pyle would have been a great fight, because they're known names.
I love the Tariq fight.
Would have been a great fight, you know what I mean? But, you know, Tariq doesn't necessarily, you know, get destroyed. Like, if he loses that fight, it's not, you know, one of these guys has to lose, and they're going to probably, like they're both unbeaten, 11-12 fight win streak. One of them gets buried, and there goes a prospect straight away.
Exactly.
So it's, to me, it's a slightly confusing, but at the same time, it should be a great fight.
I can't wait for it. It's an absolute burner.
It's gonna be a cracker, which is really all that matters. It should all should be all that matters for us. So.
And obviously, Neil Seary and Phil Harris, a rematch from, I think it was Bama they first fought, where Phil got the victory. But Neil's really evolved as a mixed martial artist since then and come on in leaps and bounds. And it's a second fight in the UFC. You know, it's been an incredible whirlwind sort of, what, how many months ago was the fight?
Was it February?
2 months ago, yeah. So it's been a whirlwind sort of 6 months from the ups and downs of obviously the Cage Warriors fight that didn't take place against Ulysses Gomez. It's a great fight for Seary, one that, you know, he fully deserves, and it's great to see him on a hometown guy on the card as well. What way does this fight go? It's an interesting one, but I've got Seary all day in this.
Yeah, I've got Seary finishing him. I mean, I think they have to have Seary on the card, and I think it's unthinkable to think that Neil Seary doesn't win in Dublin. And I think Phil, I'm not saying like Phil Harris is no joke, obviously, but yeah. I mean, wasn't he cut?
And yeah, then, he was cut.
And then it's like, okay, we need someone let's bring this guy back.
He signed for Cage Warriors, and then it was a mad situation.
So I think it's an ideal. I think Seary finishes the fight. I think it'll be a cracker now, in fairness, but yeah, I think it's a perfect fight for Neil Seary.
It's going to be an absolute barn burner. On a few time restraints here, as I only realised just before we came on air, that's why there was a slight delay. Sorry about that. 15 minutes of a delay from originally first scheduled at 9:15. Apologies. Obviously, if you want to get in contact, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Niall McGrath for Keith. What's your handle?
Keith McGP.
There you go. Hit us
M-A-C,
up.
M-A-C, that is, yeah.
Hit us up on any questions, anything like that. Any issues you want to spring up on the show, and I'll be back, obviously, next week with Andrew McGann. I'm not wrapping up the show. We're going to get to the first interview of the day here. Brad Pickett. I caught up with Brad Pickett yesterday, I think it was. So just going to get to that interview now, and we'll be back, obviously, then to talk with Ian McCall. So check it out, guys.
Hey, guys, this is Ian McCall, UFC flyweight, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to welcome back on the show Brad Pickett, who goes up against Ian McCall on July 19th right here in sunny Dublin, Ireland. Brad, first of all, do appreciate you coming back on the show. How you been keeping, mate? How are things with you?
Yeah, I'm all good, you know. Yeah, not getting any younger, you know, so... I'm enjoying a little bit of time off in between fights, you know, just to get back to the swing of things, but no, it's all good.
Obviously, Brad, Ian McCall fight's been announced for Dublin on July 19th. First of all, I know you're very impressed with the Irish fans after the Neil Seary fight. How much are you looking forward to fighting over here in Dublin, Ireland?
I mean, definitely. I mean, to be honest, I've never even been to Ireland. It's one of those places that I've always wanted to go to. I've never been. It's like, it's so strange, like, I've been all around the world, but somewhere which is so close to me I've never been to. So I'm looking forward to going to Ireland. And and if there's any like reflection to how the Irish fans supported Conor and like Neil Seary in my last fight, you know, I'm sure the place is going to be full and be crazy.
Just before we get to talking about obviously Ian McCall, I just want to ask you a few questions about the Neil Seary fight. You know, how do you assess your performance there, Brad? I know you weren't very happy with it. Now, you know, having a bit of time to reflect, what's your assessment of the performance?
As in, I got a little bit of stick from people, like especially the Irish fans, but I still saying, "Oh, I was disrespectful about Neil Seary." But I wasn't. I could be my my critic. You know, I wasn't happy with my performance. But how I'm happy. I won. And, you know, it was a good fight. Neil Seary fought very well. But the reason I was unhappy is because how I look at things is how I've been sparring. When I was sparring in America, I was feeling great. I was doing really good things. And when I came to, I was trying out loads of new stuff and new different styles and stuff like that. And when I came to fight, I just kind of like, I felt very flat-footed. And I went back to the old me, who just wanted to swing and throw bombs, which won't really work too well in this division because people are really quick, you know. But that's what I wanted to do. I went back to throwing these big bombs and not really connecting and getting hit a lot by Neil. And that's what was disappointing me, because I didn't fight the way I was training or I was supposed to fight. So it was no disrespect to Neil. It was more like I was just a bit peed off with myself. Like, you know, I'm an idiot. Why did I...
Do you think in any way your performance that you weren't up to par, did it have anything to do with the weight cut, and how did you feel at 125 pounds?
I don't think it was anything to do with weight cut. I felt great. I felt really good fighting that weight. I trimmed up a lot, as you probably could tell by my physique. I was very, very lean. But I didn't tend to lose much muscle, you know, so I still had my strength and power there and that. The wake-up was fine, as in I didn't feel like I gassed at all in the fight. I could have gone another two rounds. That was all fine for me as well. So I can't say the weight cut was an issue at all.
Being at 125 pounds, is it more about now, you know, putting in a diet and, you know, living a lifestyle, so to speak, at that weight to keep it that way?
I used to think that, to be honest, because like this last one, as I never made the weight before, I cut from a long way out, you know. But I honestly do believe, like, I cut from way too, I was too lean for too long. You know, I got to America, what was it, like 7 or 8 weeks before my fight, and I was 6% body fat. So to train on that when I was that lean, it's actually not good for your body to be that lean for so long. Definitely. You're prone to injury. And I did suffer a few injuries, you know, while I was training, which hindered my training camp. But because I'm a real man, I still fought.
I know who that's aimed at.
And I didn't tweak a little groin strain and like but I had a few bad injuries. Yeah, you know, I don't need to go into detail, but which for me it would take me a lot to not make me fight, you know.
So I
think now I've done the weight cut and now I don't think I need to diet as far out as I did, because I was dieting for so long and I wasn't losing any weight. I kind of was staying around the same, as in you only get as lean as a certain amount, you know. So I wasn't tend to losing any more weight. So I effectively, when I done my cut, it was a big cut. And I think that's what I'm going to have to do every time. So I no point in me dieting so far out, you know.
Yeah. And the change of opponent, obviously in short notice, you sort of mentioned Ian McCauley, he pulled out a couple of weeks before the fight. Obviously, Ian's a very different, you know, fighter to what Neil Seary is. Did that have an effect on your performance as well? Did you have to mix up things, you know, in training in the 2 weeks to try and adjust in such short notice?
Not really, because when I train, I always train to make Brad Pickett a better fighter. I don't really train concentrating on, you know, like the other guy. A little bit, you have a look at it, see how they move and all that sort of stuff. But me, I always, every time I go into the gym, is to make me a better fighter. So whatever I think I'm not doing well in, I want to get better.
Definitely.
That sort of stuff. And as for the change in opponent, it affected me a little bit, as in, because like, I've always said this, and I've had over 30 odd fights and I've never had someone I wanted to punch so much in the face in McCall, you know. So like, then him dropping out and then having Neil Seary, and to me Neil Seary was just an opponent, so it wasn't like, right, it wasn't as, you know, if you know what I mean, I wasn't as up for it as much as I should do. But I can't take that away from my performance. I still need to be professional and get going and get the job done.
And speaking of your good pal, Ian McCall, you mentioned the interview this week, I believe it was, in the Telegraph. You said it's not a case of him turning up, it's a case of him getting injured again. McCall seems to be a medical wreck. Was that meant sarcastically? Do you think he was avoiding you in the last fight?
I don't know. It's the fight game. You can't. It's hard to avoid people when you're in the UFC, for instance, because the UFC match you up. You know, it's not as if on a domestic scene where you could choose to avoid people. So, like, I don't think, you know, he. I don't think he wanted to fight me, but I don't think that he intentionally pulled out because of it. Maybe I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not calling anyone a liar or anything. You know, injuries do happen. But what I got more annoyed about is, which was fine, he was talking a lot of trash on the internet and all that sort of stuff. But I didn't mind. You know, I've never had people talk trash about me, really, because I'm quite a humble and keep myself to self guy. But yeah, he started talking a lot of smack. But you know what? It did bother me because, like, you know, at the end of this, I'm going to punch you in the face and there's no, you know, we're going to fight. So I'll get my redemption then. What actually kind of really got under my nerves is when he then pulled out of his fight, which I don't mind. Like I say, anything can happen, you know. People get injured. I could get injured training for this fight and pull out, you know. But what annoyed me and really got under my skin was that after he pulled out, he still continued to try to chat shit on the internet.
On Twitter,
so I'm like, talk as much as you want, if you're going to fight me. Otherwise, just shut up. I don't want to hear what you have to say, you know. That's what annoyed me more, him continuing to want to talk smack when I'm not fighting you. So that's annoyed me.
Obviously, he's made it personal now. Do you think it's got to that stage where, you know, it's going to be a full-out war?
Yeah, but I think he's backtracked a little bit with his comments and stuff, and he's trying to make it a little bit more, like banterish, you know, yeah. Like, haha, yeah, that was a good one, you know, that sort of stuff. He's trying to make it a bit more chummy, because I feel like he did kind of like, you know, rile me up, and I don't know, it's hard to say what a riled up picket would be, because I've always fought kind of like pretty placid, and even that is pretty an aggressive style anyway. So who knows what a riled up Brad Pickett would be like, you know. So I don't know. I think he's backtracked a little bit on his comments, which is fine. It doesn't bother me. Like I say, I'm professional. At the end of the day, is, you know, you could be really nice to me and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to punch you. You could be an absolute douche. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to punch you. It's just my job, you know. Obviously, if you dislike the person, it gives you a little bit more satisfaction.
Definitely. And just something I noticed as well on social networks and things like that in the last couple of hours, obviously the fight's been announced on Tuesday night, but Ian actually hasn't. He's had a couple of tweets. He's a prolific tweeter, but he's mentioned nothing about the fight. Do you believe this fight's, you know, it's going to happen, Brad?
Yeah, well, we're both signed, so I like to think so. It's been announced, so if he is a fighter and if he realizes that it's his job to fight in the UFC, you think he would want to turn up, you know. So, but like you're saying,
do you believe he's the fighter mentality, Ian McCall, or do you think he's just one of these guys? Like I've spoken to Ian before a couple of times in our show here, and he's mentioned to me that, you know, he's a spiteful person, an attention seeker. Is that a fair statement?
Man, if he says that himself, I couldn't sum up any better, because that's what I always felt from him. He's not really a fighter's fighter. Like, I don't want to say about myself, but me, I'm a fighter. I want to fight, you know. And if you fight me, you're in a fight. Where him, he likes the glitz and the glam that fighting brings and the attention it brings from fans and all that sort of stuff. You see in these fights, he plays up to the crowd a lot. He looks at himself with the big screen on the camera. And we're fine. It is what it is. But you know, me, I'm in there to do a job. I'm there and I'm looking to beat you up and not get beaten up. And I don't care what I look like on the big screen. Who cares if a snot bogey's hanging out my nose? I don't care. It's not about vanity. It's about pride, you know. And that's how I see it. I'm a very competitive person. I have a lot of pride in the line. My manhood's on the line when I step into the cage. You get beat by someone. So who cares what you look like? That's all. You know, but you do get some fighters who are all about their looks. But, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just saying it's not me.
So you think Ian McCall is one of these guys that cares about his looks?
Like you say, if he said it to you, you know, he's not hiding the fact that he's like that, you know. But it doesn't make him a bad fighter. He's actually a very talented fighter.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? He's a very talented fighter. Otherwise, he wouldn't be where he is today, you know. So don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go in there and overlook it. But I just think with these type of fighters, sometimes, you know, things can get in the head a lot more, and I think sometimes his personal life gets in the way, and a lot of other things are going on, distractions, you know, leading up to the fight. You know, unfortunately, his friend passed away
in
my last fight. You know, not saying if that was anything to do with it, but you know, sometimes people's personal lives can affect their training a lot. That's why me personally, I never train at home. I always go away to train and take my day-to-day life away from me. So I then go onto fight mode and training mode, you know. So that's one of the main reasons I like traveling and going away to fight, to train, because it's so much easier to switch on and get away from your day-to-day distractions, you know.
Definitely. And just something, you know, obviously the UFC haven't announced where this fight's going to be on the card. It's not main event, or it's not co-main event, as we know. I presume it's going to be third fight from the top. Were you a little bit disappointed that this fight possibly didn't headline the card?
I'm not saying I'm disappointed I wouldn't headline, because obviously Conor McGregor is a massive draw, you know. So Yeah, I could see that. I'm a little bit gutted that I wasn't at least co-main event. You know, I sometimes feel like I don't get without getting the violins out. Sometimes I do feel that I get overlooked quite a lot. You know, like basically my fight with Ian McCall has title shot.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
So you know, we're both highly ranked guys. You know, and so. But then it's weird, I have different arguments. Like, they can say, like, oh, yeah, but Gunnar Nelson, he's practically from Ireland and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, fine, granted. But I'm actually from London. And they decided to have the co-main event on the London card to Americans. So what did that work? I didn't make sense of that one either. You know, like, co-main event of the London card, where I'm from London, was... Michael Johnson versus
Melvin Guillard, yeah,
two Americans, you know, had no relevance at all. But then, okay, you want to use the reason that Gunnar Nelson's from Ireland, that's why we need him co-main event. Well, it kind of like doesn't work then if you use that in both ways, because it didn't work out for me. But at the end of the day, I'm just gonna need to get on with it. I need to go on, do my job, and yeah, I mean, yeah, it does get me a little bit, because I always seem to be involved in exciting fights, so. I would have thought that I'd be high up the card than being third from last, but you know, it's not my decision.
It is what it is. Brad, you know, this fight you mentioned just there briefly, does the winner of this fight get a title shot? Because, you know, another question, actually, just before we just get to that, I want to ask you, are you a little bit disappointed that you're ranked number 11 in the flyweight division? And, you know, a win over McCall obviously changes that, because he's ranked number 3.
I've always said this, for me, rankings are people's opinions. The only rank that is solidified and solid is number one, whoever holds the belt. Apart from that, it's literally people's opinions. So it doesn't bother me too much, but it sometimes does baffle me a little bit. Like being ranked number 6 at bantamweight, to have one fight at flyweight, to drop out the bantamweight rankings to, I think, number 11 or 12 as well, and then also to not be in the top 10 at flyweight, kind of like, what? You go down a weight class and win a fight, and you just, I don't know, you know, you just go AWOL. It's like, I don't understand that, but that's why I don't understand, because it is literally just some guy on the back here on his computer, and it's his opinion, so... it doesn't bother me.
Definitely.
It does baffle me sometimes.
Definitely. They're hardly worth the paper they're written on these days. I was actually commenting on that the other day. As I mentioned just before there, does the winner of this fight get a title shot?
I'd like to think so, you know, because the weight division's a little bit, you know...
Yeah, how do you assess the division, Brad, at the moment as well? That's another question that you can sort of interlude into this, because it's a question I want to ask. How do you see the flyweight division at the moment?
It's not a massive deep division, and I think that Demetrius Johnson has basically cleaned it up, so there's not really many people out there apart from rematches. I know he's fighting Ali next. Should be a good fight, but I do believe Ali won't really give him any troubles, to be honest. I think he'll win that quite comfortably. And then you look at who's the next contenders in line. You had Benavidez, who's been around. He's had a couple of title shots, and he's in the first title shot, was a very good fight, and his last title shot, you know, it could happen to anybody, but he got knocked out pretty quick. So that's kind of like shut that down. And then you saw Benavidez fight Tim Elliott. You think maybe if Tim Elliott got a win, it could put him up there, but he got beat by Benavidez, who I think is a solid number two. You know, so a bit like Uriah Faber in the bantamweight division. You know, they're solid number twos. You know, I can't see them getting beat by the rest of the division. You know, so it kind of like doesn't leave a lot out there. And like the UFC don't really like rematches all the time, unless there's a really good story behind it. And I think a good win by me, you know, it puts a new challenger in there, you know. Also, obviously, I do have a win over Demetrius Johnson. So if the UFC likes stories, they have that story they could have, you know. But, you know, I don't like I don't want to look too far ahead because I need to beat Ian McCall. That's what annoyed me. Another thing about Ian McCall pulling out. Nothing about him this time, actually. Just by him pulling out, it kind of all it did was make me fight someone who was a non-contender, making his UFC debut, and so me doing anything in that fight would never give me any props. I could never move up ladder. And I don't mind if I was a 21-year-old fighter just in the UFC, but I'm not. I'm 35 now. Time is of the essence. I want to be a world champion before I retire. So all that did was make me have to wait longer. If I'd have fought Ian McCall that night and I beat him in good fashion, I could have been, I'm right in there, you know, I'm there. Now I have to wait now until July to be in that position, you know. So that's where I could be in that position already now, but now I've got to wait to July, you know. And like you say, it's not really, when I look at my body, it's not really the license plate you look at, it's the mileage, you know. And I've had a few miles, and also the license plate is quite high, so I don't want to hang around and fight up-and-comers and contenders. I want to take a shot at the title, you know, so I want to fight the big guns. So that's why I wanted to fight Ian McCall, being ranked number 3. So when he pulled out and I had someone who was a non-ranked making his UFC debut, it was a little bit, you know, like, ugh. Yeah, just in a way.
I've never seen or heard Brad Pickett so fired up. It's an accumulation of everything, as you just mentioned, that and, you know, him getting personal on Twitter. This fight's going to be an absolute barn burner, and it's going to be a crazy fight. Do you really feel it's an accumulation of all the events, and that's why you're so desperate that, you know, he's held you back effectively, as you mentioned there?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there's a few reasons I'm getting so pissed off, right? One, because it wasn't easy making flyweight. I had to do a massive lifestyle change. So I don't want to do this all the time. The only reason I'm going down to flyweight is to try and be number one in the world. So I'm not here just to make up the numbers, you know. So I want to do something. So, yeah, again, what he's done is effectively made me have to diet for another long, long period of time before I could get a title shot, you know. So, like you say, he's just put my life on hold, which, being at the age of 35, you don't want your life to be on hold. You want to, you know, try and, you know, reap the rewards while I'm still active, you know.
Definitely. And is this going to – this, I think, has potential fight of the night written all over it. Is that a fair point?
Well, to be honest, any fight with me has got potential fight tonight, you know. I've been involved in quite a lot of good fights, you know. Yes, it could be fight tonight if he turns up. But then, whoever I fight, you know, that is my aim, you know. I like to please the crowd. I do understand it's a business, but also, I mean, it's a winning game, but also understand it's a business and you need to be entertaining. And you need people to be excited about your fight, you know. Because at the end of the day, that sells, you know. So if it's like being a comedian, and if no one laughs at your jokes, you know, you're not very valuable. So, you know, you want to have fights, but not be in fights and just win. You want to be in exposed and exciting fights. Some people do that outside of the cage, you know, like with a lot of, you know, talk and all that sort of stuff. I'm not really that guy. I like to get my value from inside the cage and put on good fights.
And Brad, you mentioned to me just before we came on the air there that, you know, you're going to head over to Florida. When about are you going to head over to Florida to ATT?
I've got to go to Berlin to be a guest fighter for the UFC. So I'm over in Berlin for that week. And then as soon as I come back, I land, and then I literally turn around, get on the plane straight out to America. Right. So I'll go there 1st of June.
And just on a side note, actually, ATT mentioned there. I mentioned, what do you think of the whole situation with Cole Miller and Conor McGregor? Because I know the guys at ATT are pretty tight-knit.
Yeah, no, isn't it? I love Cole Miller. Cole Miller's a really nice guy, but he kind of has really rubbed up English, European fans just with a few of his comments. But you know what? He's a nice guy, but he plays the game, you know. People, you know, like Conor McGregor, he runs his mouth a lot, you know. He plays the game very well. You know, I like Conor McGregor a lot, but some of the stuff he says sometimes, I'm like, whoa, you can't say that. But that's his character, you know, and it sells. He's blown up. He's massive. Man, and his third fight is the main event, you know, of a UFC card. So it shows so much for his stature, you know. So he does that really well. And Cole Miller, you know, the same sort of thing, you know. you know, he don't mind being the bad guy, and he's going to come over and he's going to be the bad guy, you know. He's going to get booze and he's going to feed up that sort, all those booze and that sort of stuff. You know, he thrives on that sort of thing. He doesn't mind. As for the fight, to be honest, I think it's a very good fight for both guys, because Conor's such a big name, and I think Cole Miller's a very big test. Cole Miller, for me, is one of those people who could beat he could beat anyone in the top 10 on his night, and then he can get beat by anyone in the UFC on his night. He's really like
Jacqueline Hyde.
Yeah, man. And sometimes he puts on these crazy performances, and like, even me, him being my teammate, he goes into fight, I'm like, oh man, he doesn't look good for him in this fight. And boom, out of nowhere, he does something crazy and wins. And I'm like, oh man, you know. So that's what he's like. So it all depends, you know, sometimes which Cole Miller turns up, you know.
Yeah.
As for Conor, I think it's a good fight for him to come back into, you know. But I'm surprised, you know, I think the UFC a bit more clever. We need to protect Conor in certain ways. Not saying McGregor's junk in his wrestling, but I think Conor at this moment in time would struggle against good wrestlers like someone like Clay Guida, who's been there, but I know them, but had a bit of smack and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think he will struggle with a fighter like that, and you know, it won't be an exciting fight, because Clay won't mess around with him. He'll just like take him down, you know, and that sort of stuff. You know, I'm not saying it's easy to take down Conor McGregor, but I'm just saying that's what Clay would do, because he's a wrestler. He is an experienced veteran as well.
Yeah, exactly. And just before we wrap it up, Rod, I do appreciate the time. Will there be any hat swapping after this fight with Ian McCall in Dublin? And have you got any final words for Ian?
any hat swapping?
Yeah.
Where's the hat, does he?
Sometimes he does, yeah.
Maybe what I do, I give him my hat and I cut off his moustache, you know, we'll do a swap like that.
Brilliant. Any final words for Uncle Creepy?
Yeah, train well and train in bubble wrap or something. Don't get yourself injured.
Okay. Anyone you'd like to give a shout out to or thanks to?
Yeah, obviously I'd like to thank all the fans out there, you know, make the sport for what it is. I'd like to thank all, you know, my team, American Top Team and Team Titan in England. My management, Spike Management, and all my sponsors, Venom, Positive, and everyone else there is sportsmen all the time, you know.
And they can catch you, the fans can catch you at One Punch Pick, if that's correct.
Yeah. One_punch. One is in O-N-E, _punch is on Twitter.
Brilliant stuff. Brad, looking forward to seeing you. I'll see you over in Berlin anyway before you get over here. So really do appreciate the time, mate. And best of luck in the fight against Ian McCall. And I'll talk to you in Dublin also.
No problem at all. All right, cheers, mate.
Broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland. And around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts radio.
Yeah, sorry, a bit of a tech hitch there. Yeah, we're back on here.
Yep.
Obviously, what a fight that is coming up. It's going to be an absolute barn burner. I can't wait for it. It's going to be a cracking fight. How excited are you for this fight?
Yeah, I reckon it's, for me, it's probably my most anticipated of the night. It was one of these that I was, I know amongst ourselves, we're kind of like, it'd be great if we got this fight. We finally, if Dublin got it, the timing was right. We weren't sure if we'd get it, but we were even talked about it as a main event. But the fact we have got it, it's official, and I'm absolutely there's
a lot,
wait to see.
There's been a lot of trash talk between two guys, and obviously between Ian now in a minute, but absolutely barn burner of a fight. I really can't wait for that one. It's one of my favourite fights in the card, both absolute top ranked flyweights. The winner of this probably gets a title shot, Keith. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I'd imagine Pickett might. I'm not sure about McCall.
Well, McCall was, he was unlucky against them.
Yeah, I know he had the, you might, it depends. I'd say it depends on the performance, I suppose, but
yeah, no, it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't get lost in the, you know, amongst the rest of it. But
yeah, it's going to be an absolute barn burner. I really can't wait for this one. It's an absolute cracker. Ian McCall, is that you on the line, my friend?
Yes, it is.
How's it going? It's Niall here from Talking Brawls. How are you keeping, my brother?
Doing good. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Obviously, Ian, a big fight coming up for you. It's been announced this week that you're going to be fighting on the UFC Dublin card. How excited are you to be on this card?
I'm super excited. I mean, I know I've got a super nickname, but I'm not Irish at all. Actually, it's just by, you know, they just gave me a nice Gaelic name, my family. But, you know, I love traveling. I like fighting abroad. I'm not going to lie. It is pretty freaking hard. It does take its toll on your everything, especially if you have a life like I do, it's just full of a lot of crap. You know, but most people's life has a lot of crap in it. So mine's super crappy. But, you know, I like getting away, and I get to go see the world, and do what I love to do. I mean, I see the world through a hotel room window most of the time, but it's still it's a good time.
Good stuff. I mean, you mentioned me before in the podcast when you were fighting Alejandro Santos in Brazil. You said the American crowd, you know, they can be sort of douchebaggish at times, you said. And you love, you know, fighting abroad, as you mentioned there. Is that something that really excites you, you know, the noise and the crowd and the atmosphere that's going to be here in Dublin?
Yeah, I'm a total attention whore. Like, that was a little kid, you know. I like showing off, and I also like fist fighting. So those two go hand in hand. You know, I can do what I like to do, and that I'm pretty good at, and I can make money doing it and have fun. And you know, like I said, the American fans are just boring. I've been around this sport since I was like 14. You know, I was hanging out with Antonio Benuelo. I was kind of living on him and Chuck Liddell's couch when I was in college. So I got to see this sport go through so much. And the fans here are just not cool. The fans in other countries, the English are really, really fun. I've never been to Ireland.
They're not as cool as us.
I know. I was going to say, yeah, they're probably not as cool as you guys. The Australians are cooler than the English. The Australians are fun.
Yeah, definitely.
They're good people.
Yeah, oh, they're cool people. I have a good lot of Australian friends. Ian, obviously, it's been a really tough year for you with a guy I've talked to a couple of times here in the show as well. Obviously, the passing of your good friend, Shane Del Rosario. How's the mental state?
The mental state's good with that, you know, you make peace with things like that, and, you know, you'd much rather have me fighting than, you know, just sitting there hurting over it, you know, like, you know, that's what anyone would want, any good person would want, and when he wasn't a really good guy, he would just want to, you know, do my job and become champion. You know, it's other parts of my life are way more stressful than that. You know, that was just more or less, you know, just a bit, it was a really, you know, hard few months there.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, a guy that, you know, I know you've mentioned his name here in the past before, made some astounding comments. Rob Emerson. What do you pay any attention to those comments?
No. You know, realistically, I know the truth. If anyone around, you know, me and the whole situation knows, you know, how everything actually happened. And it's just logical, you know, and when people make comments like that, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, you're not in the UFC anymore. I'm sorry that, you know, you're like, I don't know what his whole deal is. He's trying to get attention from me or something, and I'm not that cool. I don't know why he would try and, you know, he's just angry because I put him on blast after he fucked my wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he's looking for any reason to get mad at me, and that's me being totally honest. Like, that's why he's mad.
Yeah.
Because I put him on blast and made him look like an asshole that he is because of what he did to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's just one of those things. Whatever. I don't really give a shit. You know, you want to try and fight me when I see you. And it's just like, dude, you want to fight me? Okay, well, make it back to the UFC and then I'll fight you. Like, he made me promise him that I'd fight him.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he picked a fight with me somewhere at the Ruka gym. And then of course I'm just gonna laugh at him. Like, I'm not gonna. I was there coaching wrestling. It's one of my friends, and he freaked out for a fit. And of course, once everyone got between us, you know, he started getting all crazy. And then made me promise him that once he made it back to the UFC, that I would fight him. So he'll get his wish. Once he can actually get his shit together and UFC will ever sign him, I'll go up and wait. And I'm gonna fuck him up.
Good stuff. I mean, speaking of UFC Dublin, obviously, you know, you've a bit of bad blood with Brad Pickett. Brad sort of alluded, I spoke to Brad earlier on here in the show this evening, and he sort of mentioned, you know, he felt you might be running a little bit scared from him. What would you react to that? What would your take be on what Brad said?
You know, being scared, I've been fragile. I'll give myself that. My body's fucking failing me lately. you know, my hand, I broke it in my fight in Brazil. I had to have, you know, two surgeries on it. And then my labrum and my hip and my groin in two places all tore at once. So, I mean, it's just one of those things, being afraid of somebody, you know, I don't know if he's trying to sell a fight or be serious, but, like, this is what we do for a living. I'm not afraid of anybody.
Yeah. I mean, how are the injuries, mate? Are you healed up? Is the groin better and the hand?
My hand will always be deformed. I can't make a flip. Like if I showed you my hand, you'd laugh. It's a fucking mess. But it's rock solid, so I can punch people with it. I've been hitting people with a bunch of it, so, and it's, you know, I don't know. It works. The groin, getting better. You know, it's still not 100%, but I haven't really started my heavy camp yet. I mean, I train every day, but I always train every day. You know, or almost every day. And I take it slow, you know, to stay in shape because I'm always doing something. Yeah. And, you know, it's just one of those things that just, it's going to be there. It takes a long time to heal. You know, I tore, I could have had surgery on it, but we didn't because, you know, I would recover fast and I'm just not with that, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, the blood with Brad, where's this all stem from?
He thinks his, like, you know, Monty Python potty humor is funny. I don't think it's funny. no, I don't know. It's funny because we have some of the same friends. Like, and I don't know, we just like talking shit to each other. It's not, there's not too much behind it more than, I think we're both just good at talking shit, so we're doing it. I don't really take offense to it. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, some of the stuff that we've done to each other on social media is pretty funny. Yeah. So, you got to give us credit for that. We're doing our part, you know.
Definitely, but Brad, I spoke to Brad yesterday, and he said that, you know, I've never heard Brad so riled up in his life. is this your plan to really, you know, get underneath his skin, or is it? You're seeing the funny side of it now.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Sometimes someone else gets under your skin. I'm winning that mental part of it so far, and you know, I doubt it will affect him. You know, Brad's been fighting for a long time. I doubt me pissing him off is going to make him fight worse, you know. But it's fun. You know, I get a kick out of messing with people, and especially when someone can fight back, you know. Like, I'm so like, look what I do for a living. You know, I beat people up for a living. But it's always against solid competition. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to, like, try and, you know, maybe ruin part of your day. I said something really funny and offensive.
Ian... What way do you see this fight going? Like, what sort of fight are we going to see here? Because on paper, it's an absolute barn burner of a fight.
Yeah, we're going to beat the crap out of each other. That's a no-brainer. I mean, he always comes to fight. I always come to fight. We are going to go at a good pace. And I think what's going to happen is, because he's not that fast, and not to say his cardio is bad, he's got good cardio, but he's just not that fast, and I think I can, I'm just going to outwork him. I'm going to outwork him and try and put him away with whether it's a knockout or a submission. Doesn't matter to me. I'll take it. I'd like to, and you know, some people don't really feel the same way, but I like to hurt people. I get off on it, you know. I was listening to Gene LaBelle on Joe Rogan's show the other day, and he was laughing at him because how him and Colin Gotch would, like, get off sexually when they beat someone up. And I was like, wow. I was like, you know, I don't know if I feel that sexual about it, but I really do enjoy it. It's like a fun thing to hurt, you know, somebody that's willing and able.
And a question I also asked Brad yesterday, how do you see, what's your perception of the flyweight division? I asked you this before in the past, obviously, when the flyweight division just came into the UFC. And how much has it progressed since the implementation of the division?
Well, the progression's been huge, and it's been led by Demetrius. I mean, he hasn't, you know, he's fought a pretty good amount, you know, nothing crazy, but he's had really good fights, you know, and he's ever improving. You know, I think he gets better and better at a very high rate, you know, like he should. He's a champ, you know, he should be finishing people like he is. I was shocked when he knocked out Joe. I wasn't there, but I heard it was a pretty damn good shot. I saw it on TV, but when you're actually there and you get to hear it and kind of feel it when you're close, you know how bad, you know how hard it was. But then again, I don't know. You know, people could be overreacting. I know how it feels, so I know I would be able to gauge it pretty well. You know, and I think the rest of us have put on good fights. Every flyweight fight's good. Definitely. Even if you have a super technical fight like Bagutinov and Lineker, I mean, Bagutinov just dissected him, you know? And he took some shots in the process, but, I mean, he thoroughly dissected Lineker. And it was just like, it was funny, you know? he was playing with him, you know? And he didn't put him away, but it was a damn good fight.
Hey there, Keith here. I was just wondering if you saw Brad's fight with Neil Seary a few months ago, and like being his featherweight debut, did you take anything from it that you can kind of work with?
Yeah, I look at it this way, and I'm going to be offensive for a second, I guess, but you get an Englishman who fights an Irishman. Now the Irishman cracks him.
Yeah.
And then the Englishman turns into a wrestler when he's supposed to be a kickboxer.
Mm.
I'm not to say anything against English wrestling, but it sucks. You know, I'm an American wrestler. And I'm pretty damn good. I didn't do anything, you know, collegiately or really anything, but with my talent. But I know I'm damn good at wrestling, especially MMA wrestling. So that whole process of him being slow, and if you know you can punch him, he's gonna try and out wrestle me. Well, that's not gonna happen, man. You know, my jiu-jitsu game's, I know his is pretty good too, but I think I'm one of the elite grapplers in this division.
Do you think he won the fight?
I think I won the which fight?
Do you think Brad won the fight against Siri? Because a lot of people kind of thought he was lit up on the feet a little bit and be kind of almost desperation.
I think he won. I mean, it wasn't by much, you know, but I think he won. It wasn't. I'd have to watch it again. I've only watched it like once.
Okay.
My dad has it. My dad has everything taped for me, and my dad is like a wealth of information when it comes to fighting. He he's always supported my fighting. He's always supported my wrestling. He was always bad in the seats with a cigar in his mouth, and he never coached me. But I grew up watching boxing with him. Now, like, my dad has a lot of knowledge from watching fights. I mean, he buys every boxing fight, every UFC. And he watches it, and he's been doing it since it first started, you know. So my dad's a very smart man, and very analytical when it comes to fighting. So I'd have to sit down and I'd probably sit with him and maybe, you know, have someone make tapes or something, whatever, they put it on a CD, and have UFC send me, well, however they do it, I don't know, my agent always does it. And show that to my trainers, you know, because I've got a bunch of training partners and trainers that, and pretty much all my training partners are trainers in some way. Like, some guys, they help me, they're sparring partners, but like, they get so involved in mimicking the style. I have one guy specifically, my friend Danny Alvarez, Bolo, that's what they call him.
Mm.
But he can mimic anyone's style perfectly. I mean, the guy, he does it well. Like, he does it for me, and I'm actually, hopefully I'll bring him out to Hawaii with me when I go next. To go work with BJ, help BJ get ready for Frankie.
Brilliant.
And then I can bring, you know, so I'm going to take away a lot from that fight. I'm sure it's just a lot more stuff than I won't even know. But me as my whole team, you know?
Yeah. And sorry, Keith, go ahead, Keith.
No, good.
Ian, ahead of this fight, you mentioned BJ. They're going to go ahead and help him, prepare for Frankie. And what's the timeline like? Are you started training? Obviously, you've had a couple of injuries there. What's the plan for the next couple of months ahead of this fight with Brad Pickett?
Well, what I've been doing is I'll start the train, and then it'll hurt, so I'll take a few days off, and I've been kind of doing this. I'll push it a little bit, and it'll get sore, and then I'll stop and let it heal. And I'll just keep and those little bursts of me training is getting longer and longer, and my leg feels better and better. I have to stay in shape, you know, and I do a lot of physical therapy over at Dr. Kessler's here in Orange County. I mean, I'm there like probably 3-4, sometimes 5 days a week. Yeah. Getting massages, all the different machines. Chet Congo just bought the machine, he probably bought it a year ago, and he Check bought the machine, it's like a $50,000 machine or something, and he put it in the doctor's office and they rub it all over you, and it's electrical, you know, just all these kind of things that supposedly help you, you know, all the gimmicky stuff, but it works, I feel better.
if it works, it's that's all good. Obviously, we'll mention the fight against Brad again. You know, Keith mentioned it there, you were sort of unimpressed with Brad's performance. Do you think it possibly had anything to do with him cutting down to flyweight? Because, in fairness, he looked terrible. You know, I was over in London covering the fight, and he didn't look well at all. Do you think that plays a significant factor, you know, come fight week?
Yeah, I mean, he comes from an awesome team. I think, you know, American Top Team has been one of the best teams in MMA ever since, you know, it's always been that way. And they've got smart guys doing is Dolce doing his diet?
Yeah, I don't think so. He might have been getting some advice. I don't think he's doing it, though.
Well, I'm sure someone smart is doing his diet. You know, I know my buddy Charlie Blanchard is over there. That's who a closest mutual friend is at the American Top Team. And Charlie's a smart dude. I mean, he's a really, really smart guy. And he's a fighter and a coach. So I know that the weight cut's going to be hard. It's hard for all of us. It's not easy to cut down to 125. You know, and he's bigger than I am, so I'm sure it sucks even more, you know. But it was like in my second fight with Demetrius, I blew up to like 152 and a half. I cut way too much weight, like almost 19 pounds. And then when I regained all my weight back, by midnight after weigh-ins, I was like 152 and a half.
Right.
So it makes you slow. You know, you get that big and you blow it up real quick and your joints hurt. You know, you do it wrong. So, I mean, it could go either way for him. You never know.
Definitely.
You know, I had already cut to 125 a handful of times before I had that fight. I just, you know, my body just wasn't having it at that time.
and Ian, just before we wrap up the interview, and do appreciate the time as always. Any final words for your good pal, Brad Pickett? I asked Brad yesterday, would he be swapping hats come the end of the fight?
Swapping hats?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'll take that. That's cool, you know? At least he's not some fucking idiot trying to shave my mustache. What's that kid's name?
He said that to me yesterday, that he's going to shave your mustache.
Yeah, Josh Santos, that he's going to beat me up and shave my mustache. I was like, what? That's not cool. At least, because we saw a hat, that's awesome. I want a cool hat. You know, I'll go buy another one like I have. And that my hat's gone everywhere with me. I'm sure Brad has the same hat, too. I've had my hat for like 10 years, and it's gone all over the world with me.
Brilliant stuff. I mean, where's the after party going to be in Dublin?
Oh, I have no idea. But you know what? I'm going to talk to my agent. Where should I do my party?
We should run it through us first.
Run it through us.
Yeah.
Throw me a text. We'll
help you.
Throw me a text during the week, and we'll sort out something and organize a nice venue for you here with a few pints of Guinness.
Yeah, that'll be a good time. I'm going to get drunk as hell with you guys.
Awesome. I look forward to it, Ian. Ian McCall, just before we wrap it up, anyone you'd like to give a shout-out to, Ian?
Shout-out to Team Oyama, Lotus Club Jiu-Jitsu, the guys over at California Republic Academy of Wrestling. I know I haven't been coming in, but I'll be back soon. All my team, my family, my friends, you know, everyone. I got a lot of supporters, man. Especially this last year, it's been, they've come out in full force. I love you guys.
Ian, really looking forward to catching up with you in Dublin in July. And best of luck, and really do appreciate the time as always, Ian.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Talk soon. Cheers. And that was Ian McCall, guys. Big thanks to Uncle Creepy for joining us on the show ahead of the fight with Brad Pickett. Obviously, it's a long way off yet, a couple of months. But obviously, with the fight week that's been in it, the fight announcements, I really just can't wait for this fight. What Ian was saying there, it's going to be an absolute barn burner, Keith.
Yeah, I was well up for it before listening to basically that. It's fantastic, but it's kind of like playful promotion between them as well. There isn't really a hatred there.
I think there is more on Brad.
Well, maybe on Brad's side. But listening to Ian, it's kind of like, I'm only having a bit of crack, like. But it has the makings of just an absolute. Hopefully it does. I don't want to tempt fate here, but it should be.
It's going to be an absolute cracker. But you know, looking at this fight, as mentioned to you there a couple of minutes ago, I believe the winner of this is going to get a title shot. Do you think anyone can stop Demetrius Johnson? Because he's on an absolute roll in the flyweight division.
Well, neither of these two. I don't think I have a hope.
Well, didn't he not, you know, the fight in Sydney that went to a draw, the first fight, Ian really won that fight. He was pretty much robbed in the flyweight tournament implementation of the division. I think it's a lot closer
I'd look at who's come further since then, and like Demetrius Johnson's just, I think it's just a different level. I think it's one of them divisions where the main guy is that much better than everyone else. Definitely. You know, it's hard to see. I can't see anyone really who's going to, you know, come close to taking.
And who takes this fight for you? Just out of interest while we're here.
Probably McCall.
Yeah.
I would think. I don't know. I'd lean towards McCall. Because of experience at the weight is a big factor.
Yeah, I think that's would say a big, for me. I completely agree with you. I think it's going to be a very close fight. I'm not going to make any predictions yet.
No.
But we will soon. Keith, we're off to Berlin in a couple of weeks. How much are you looking forward to Musasi versus Munoz? It's going to be to be honest, I'm not going to lie. I don't really like a lot of the fights in the card, but I think that's an absolute cracking fight.
Yeah, I think it's a great main event, and it's one of these where it's the main event sells that you don't need to look under it. But I'm sure it'll be a great fight. I'm looking forward to going to Germany, though. I've never been to Germany, so I think it'll be absolute pleasure to cover an event over there. Yeah, so.
Definitely looking forward to it. So you can catch Keith on Twitter at
Keith McGP.
What's the MacGP for, brother?
Maculafarig.
All right, okay. There we go. There we have
Keith Fitz was taken, so.
You can catch me at Niall McGrath 4. Obviously, you can catch all our work on talkingbrawlsmma.com and on Twitter as well. You got all the details there for that. So hit us up with any questions, any comments, anything like that. Interact with
our LinkedIn profiles, LinkedIn, and Google Plus, everywhere.
We're going to be introducing to the live show. We're going to be doing a live show. I think we're going to set it for a Sunday. It's not 100% sure yet. It's been a bit sporadic at the moment, but we're going to get that sorted. But we're going to be taking actually live phone calls on the show starting. Not this Sunday because it's a bank holiday weekend. Sunday week, we'll be back with the live show. I'll be back with Andrew McGahan next Wednesday. I might repost one of these interviews on the podcast. So really looking forward to that. But Keith, what's the plan for the long weekend? And just now, fuck that comment for a sec. What? Everyone's laughing at me.
Okay.
Big thanks actually as well before we wrap up. Did wrap up some tech to Kieran here. He's been doing a great job on the mixer here on the mixing desk. But overall, fight picks, we've Cody Donovan also very quickly as well against Nikita Krylov. Cody's a good lad. I've had him on the show a couple of times before. And what's the other fight that was announced?
Tom Lawler against
Ilir Latifi. Two good fights. I like the Tom Lawler one. I think Tom Lawler is really out of his depth moving up to light heavyweight.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake. I think Latifi's he looked like a beast against Cyril Dibiade. So,
very quickly, Keith, how many more fights do we expect in this card? Is this going to be a 9-fight card or a 12-fight card? What are we going to see?
I think 10, because they added a couple more to Berlin. Berlin's now at 10.
Who else is going to be on the card?
Who else? I don't know. I have to think Norman Park.
Yeah,
will get a fight.
Well, we see Redzer. There's been a few rumors going around that
I'd think Redzer would be there just because there's been nothing he's been 2-3 months since the Cage Wars fight. So I'm not sure. I'd love to see him on it, but
definitely
time will tell.
Hopefully, Carl and Chris, if the Ultimate Fighter goes well as well, really look forward to that. Okay, guys, we've very little time left here on air. So big thanks to Kieran Verso here from Direct Productions, who's been doing the mixer for us. Kieran, watching the show tonight.
Yeah, very good, lads.
Well played. Yeah, good stuff. Cheers, Kieran, for that. Keith, obviously, you can catch all Keith's work. Some great stuff on talkingbrawlsmma.com. Keith, enjoyed your first experience in Talking Brawls.
Yes, fantastic. Absolute honour to be on the show. Thanks very much for having me.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. And Keith will be joining me on the Sunday night, as I mentioned, the live shows.
Hangover permitting, obviously, yeah.
They're hangover permitting. Nah,
we'll work around it.
We'll work around it. There'll be no problems. Big thanks to Ian McCall, obviously, for his time on the show. And a big thanks to Brad Pickett. So from Keith GMACP and myself, Niall McGrath, it is good luck and good night. Thanks, guys.
Shlan.
This is Mike Dolce,
Ian McCall, James Little Evil Pulver,
the Crippler Chris Levin,
Frank the Legend Shamrock,
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.